Sarah Grillo here. Today, we have yet another episode of the Sarah Grillo podcast, and I am so thrilled that we are going to be doing this as a game show featuring a famous judge and two famous contestants. Da-da-da-da! Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, everybody. So, later we'll explain who these people actually are. You may know them, but we've got Scott Stilowski and Cheryl Garrett on the line as the contestants and Vikram Rajan as the judge. I'm sure you know all of these people. So we will introduce later and talk a little bit, but first we're going to jump into question number one. Get ready, contestants and judge.
All right.
You will have 3 seconds to answer this question. What social media platform do the most United States adults earning $75,000 a year more in salary use, according to Hootsuite? Enter your responses into the chat box. Okay. Scott Stilowski says Facebook. Cheryl Garrett says LinkedIn. Okay. Now, Judge Vic.
So now, according to Hootsuite, who just by being a dominant player in the world of social media marketing as software, they actually put it as YouTube to really show that it is used the most. However,
what percentage, Vic?
Oh, good question. I'm looking at it right now. And do you know it off the top of your head? I'm looking at it right now, Sarah.
I know it, yes. I know everything, Vic.
Wow.
How dare you?
Why are you the host?
That's why, all right. That's why I have this awesome podcast. Okay, so it's actually 84% according to a study by Hootsuite. Now, actually, let me see. No, study Pew Research Center.
Yes,
actually.
Pew Research.
Yeah, sorry, Pew Research.
Which is good. Good. I would take Pew's research skills over Hootsuite's very biased research skills, but Pew being a very legitimate research institution.
I'm so disappointed I didn't go with my personal choice.
To Cheryl's point, so yes, is YouTube a social media? It has social media characteristics. But from what we know of LinkedIn, the average income is a six-figure income of users of LinkedIn. However, it's hard to say that the most U.S. adults earning 75K or over, are they on LinkedIn versus YouTube? They're probably using YouTube and, I don't know how much they're socializing in terms of social media, like commenting, liking. But according to Pew Research and Hootsuite, the correct answer is YouTube. However, I think there should be some type of an honorary bonus point for Cheryl, because LinkedIn would have been my guess. And LinkedIn is, a favorite of Sarah's as well. So I am leaning on the host, not overrule, to be able to give Cheryl some honorarium points. Or
some sympathy points? Is that what you want? Okay.
So points.
Right. Okay, so Scott Stilowski says Facebook. Now, interestingly, in this article by Hootsuite, which, by the way, everybody, I'm going to link in the comments on this podcast, right, is that Facebook actually is used by 75% of people earning $75,000 a year or more. Yet LinkedIn is cited as only 45% of this group using. So I hate
to say, Facebook being so much larger, it's, 3-4 times at least bigger than LinkedIn.
Isn't the bottom line, what are we using it for?
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's the reason, right? People are on LinkedIn professionally. Facebook, people are there socially. They don't really
And YouTube is there for my instructions.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I would have never thought YouTube was a social media. I mean, I just wouldn't think about it that way, but... Apparently, I'm wrong.
YouTube is for entertainment and instructions on how to fix a washing machine
or a blender.
Right. Okay. So I would say that although I like Cheryl's reasoning better, the facts and the data don't concur with this reasoning. So I will say Sorry, Scott's answer was factually closer to the mark. Sorry about that.
We need to pay more attention to the actual wording of the question.
I think we're in a more post-fact economy at this point. So this seems, I don't know, I'm with you, Cheryl.
Okay, well, whatever. At the end, you know.
At the end, it's Sarah's call. So.
This is my podcast, okay? So sorry, everybody, but you're going to have to live with it, okay? The score is tied. It's 2-2. Now, I didn't slight anybody. You both wrong. I didn't slight one person more than the other.
So we're starting over again, 2-2.
Okay, 2-2. There we go. Now, before we move on, I just want to introduce all these fabulous people. Now, I don't have just anybody on my show, okay? I actually have, I have structured this because not only are my guests spectacularly charismatic, but also, and I have found that that really matters in terms of having my audience like them, but also because these guests do have an awful lot to offer in terms of educating advisors, whether it be from experience or from the kind of line of work they do. So let's start with Judge Vic.
Yes.
Just tell us, and don't have this be like a, you know, a blathering on and on thing. Just in two sentences, tell us what you do, please.
Sentence, 20 minutes or so, I can talk now? 20, 30 minutes? No. All right. Hello, everybody. Vikram Rajan. I am the co-founder of PhoneBlogger.net. We are a blogging and social media marketing firm, mainly for CPAs and attorneys.
Wow. So that's interesting. So a lot of these advisors are working with CPAs and attorneys as centers of influence, right?
Correct. And we have a few RIAs and CFPs as clients as well. So we know the compliance obligations of their marketing.
That's cool. Yeah. You know, I'm going to link to that actually below also in the resources, Vic, because I think I've always felt that, and I've done shows about this and webinars about this, that I feel that as COIs, CPAs and attorneys really kind of get marketed to in like not the most educational way. And like a lot of advisors go in there with like the pitch books and are too pushy. So I like that your product and service actually is geared towards educating and informing. I think that's a much nicer way to go about it. So I'm going to link up there. Advisors, check it out. Vic, Phone Blogger.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, cool. And you stayed within my time constraints.
Unintentionally, but that's great.
Okay. Well, it was do or die, right? Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to kick you off my show. It's my show, after all. Scott.
I'll be the cutting room floor.
Scott Selasky. Go ahead, bud.
All right. Hey, my name is Scott Selasky, founder and CEO of First Metric. I've been in the investment industry for 20 years, and First Metric's a low-cost, fixed-fee investment advisory firm specializing in passive index investment strategies.
Huh. What does that mean exactly? I mean, I know.
In English? What that means is I'm trying to keep client cost extremely low, starting with our own advisory fee and investing clients using index-based products such as index funds from Vanguard and other providers.
Right. Okay. Great. Well, good to have you here. Scott actually has own podcast even, everybody.
That's true. The Seeking Wealth Show.
Yes. Now, I saved the best one for last, not that I'm biased, but one of the reasons I invited Cheryl, other than her fabulous contribution to our industry, is that she actually has the same initials as me.
I noticed that earlier.
Isn't that cool, Cheryl?
It is very cool.
Tell me, what do you got going on, girlfriend?
Well, my main day gig is I am the founder and spokesperson for the Garrett Planning Network, an organization, a professional organization of holistic financial planners spanning the nation. We were founded in 2000, and we focus on helping to make competent, objective financial advice accessible to all people. We charge by the hour. Fee-only fiduciaries.
Fee-only, hourly. Yeah. Well, that's
and I've
great.
Known Sarah, I've known Cheryl about 15 years almost, so a little history there too.
Exactly.
Wow. I didn't realize I was pitting one friend against another in this podcast.
That's what makes it even better.
Jeez.
We get vicious then.
I should get like husbands and wives on the show next.
Yeah, you're on to something.
It'll be like the divorce game show. If you want a divorce, go on this game show. It'll cause the...
The newlyweds kind of looked less same.
That's true. That's true. That was what the purpose of the show, Newlyweds, apparently turned out to be, unfortunately. Okay. So on with the show. As you know, the winner of this show will supposedly win a free consultation with yours truly, the LinkedIn profile expert. So, okay, number two, get ready, contestants. You see an accountant on LinkedIn and you want to get his or her attention and present what you're working on. You send an in-mail message to the accountant. In two sentences or less, what does it say? 5 seconds, folks.
Now that's a quick 5 seconds.
And okay, I'll give you five more seconds.
Dead air. So Scott and Cheryl should be typing in kind of a sample LinkedIn email, which for the listeners at home is LinkedIn's email system within LinkedIn, but you also get that in your inbox. So Cheryl has responded, and we're waiting for Scott, right?
Okay. Scott has not yet responded. Okay, good. Scott is late, so I'm going to take off 1 point as a penalty. Sorry. Ah. Okay.
Wow, Scott, you make the rules up as you go along.
No, that was what happened on last show, too.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Cheryl's response. Okay, I've read your profile and think we can help each other. If you agree, please connect. Judge Vic?
So do you want to now read Scott's first before
okay, and Scott says, "Hi, my name is Scott. Do you have 2 minutes for me to explain how I can help you with my business?"
I actually like Scott's better.
Cheryl would like to change her answer.
Could we just, you know, acquiesce to I pick Scott's?
All right.
You can throw points anywhere you want to, but yeah. I like Scott's better. I like 2 minutes. Get on with it and tell me how you can help me.
See,
I wasn't even ready for an impromptu type of.
Cheryl.
Cheryl is the new.
Oh,
Cheryl.
Don't wait. There'll be times when I disagree.
Negotiating against herself. But for the same reason that short, but it's more focused on what the CPA can gain. It makes more sense for Scott. However, you know. Cheryl is a lot less, Cheryl is asking less of the CPA. She'll say, hey, connect on LinkedIn and we'll see where it goes. But Sarah, I think you would look at Scott better, right?
Whose do I like better? Well, I think that I actually like Cheryl's a little bit better because it's a little bit presumptuous for you to say to a CPA that you don't know anything about, you don't really know about their business, you haven't really found out about them to say, hey, let me explain how I can help you with your business. It's like people hate that, you know, like there's the assumptions is what really kind of.
It's presumptive. And so for the same reason that it's less effort for the CPA, it's like, yeah, sure, I'll connect with you on LinkedIn. It's a very easy yes.
It's an easier yes, yeah. I mean, Cheryl was also a little presumptive there. I think we can help each other, but it seems almost as if that's a little bit more innocuous.
Yeah, that's a throwaway line. It's almost very similar to LinkedIn standard canned connection invitation message that you can customize. But
all right, so Judge Vic, assign some points here.
You know, I personally would say 2 points for Scott and 1 for Cheryl, because it is, if you are looking at what you're actually adding value to a CPA, Scott's a little bit there, but Cheryl doesn't go home a loser because it is. But you may disagree. You may actually end up doing the opposite. I get that, but that's from my judgment.
I mean, actually, this puts us in a tie for round two as well. We're still neck to neck here. I think these messages are, you know, probably both equally effective. I think what could be take the effectiveness up a level is people were to say, hey, you know, I was looking at your profile but actually show that you looked at it, right? Say like, oh, I see that you tend to work with business owners. I see that you tend to I was on your website as well, and I saw that you do audit work, and just wanted to pass on to you some maybe tips from my line of work that could potentially help you out this tax season, save you some time and make things a little easier on you.
Or even a personal common ground. Mm-hmm. You know, I see you belong to this. I see you went to school there. It's something like that where it's, or we have these people in common, where to know it's,
one thing
you on the know you, like you, trust you scale of marketing.
One thing that drives me nuts is when someone connects and asks me to tell them something that's already publicly available. Yeah. And I know that sounds like a really snarky, you know, kind of thing, but if you feel that I can, you know, we can do some serious business, isn't it worth 10 minutes to do a little internet research? I mean, most of it might be on LinkedIn already, or it's on our website that links to LinkedIn, folks. So when I get a connection request that comes in and says, I want to know more about your business, delete.
Right.
You know, it's not like it, I don't exist out there in the online public space.
Right.
Of course, when you come in and you say, you know, I know some stuff about your business and here's how I can help you, which I kind of extrapolated out of Scott's. He does know about my business. And if he came to me and said, if I could have 2 minutes to tell you how I can help you with your business, I would be very intrigued. But I would also need to have, I would need to know that he knew me at least at the level of taking the time to read my LinkedIn profile and perhaps went to my website.
And one of the things I like to do too, if I go on LinkedIn and I don't know somebody, but yet we have mutual people in common, even if I don't go to those mutual people for an introduction and I know about the person that I want to connect with, I do mention sometimes in LinkedIn invites that, you know, we do have these few mutual people in common and, mm-hmm. you know, take it
right.
from there and see where
that
it goes.
Helps.
So.
Correct. Yeah, it makes it a little bit more, we're already friends of friends, so we may as well be friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the next one. Number 3, get ready, contestants. What is the maximum number of LinkedIn groups you can join? Okay.
All right.
Judge Vic?
Sounds like 0 points for both of us.
Yeah. I mean, you know, unlike the previous questions, which were a lot more subjective, it actually has hard and fast rule. It's funny because I learned something from Sarah, because the number of groups used to be 50, and I think that was the rule for a long time. Now that you have to be a part of 50 groups, I think it's difficult to be active in 50 groups. But they have, I don't know how recently, but there is an article we could look at that LinkedIn raised it from 50 to 100 groups.
Oh my gosh.
And okay, so my answer is correct.
Unlimited.
It is unlimited.
Yeah, it's not unlimited. It's literally unlimited. What you're saying. It's not unlimited. But it's also not 20, as Scott put it. So it's kind of, you know, the Price is Right rule, I believe, is what you have to get as close to the number
without going over it.
Right, you have to as close to the price without going over it, right?
Yeah, in that case,
Scott would be the winner.
He would.
He got as close to the 100 without going over it, as Cheryl did with the word unlimited, which is like infinity, which is bigger than 100, I think.
But if we argue, can you actually handle being in 100 groups?
Well,
that would be interesting.
Correct. And I think
that's equivalent of being unlimited.
Yeah. I think, so LinkedIn is right now in the midst of revamping their groups because it became this wasteland. And, you know, I'm part of the problem because, you know, we post on behalf of our clients. And it became that a lot of people would just post a link to their blog and run out of the room. And it's like,
right.
Running into a room, throwing a whole bunch of paper at people, and then running out of the room, and actually not waiting around to see if people read it, not waiting around to actually read other people's articles. So there's no interaction in these groups, and that's just horrible. It's like everyone's spamming each other, which I think is the issue. Or people going to a networking group and just kind of sitting like a bump in a log and not introducing people to people, et cetera. So I think it'll be tough to manage 100 groups for real, let alone 50. 20 is, again, maybe mental max.
I agree. 20 would be mental max for sure for me.
Okay, Vic, what's the point? What's the bottom line here?
To Scott's. So, yeah, so Scott is the winner.
With what points here? What do I write down?
Well, I would say 1 point, because you can't really get 2 or 3 points because you didn't actually get the answer correct, Scott. So we're not saying that you are correct, but we are saying you are less wrong than Cheryl.
Right. Sorry.
Okay. I'll take the point or the 10 points you want to give me.
Okay. Yeah. All right, now ready. This is this next one. So Scott is now ahead by 1 point.
Oh, here it comes. It's getting serious.
This is a juicy question. This is going to be tough, and I'm going to actually give you 10 seconds here. Here's the question, contestants. You spot a nicely dressed person in the elevator as you're going to work one day. In 2 sentences or less, how do you strike up conversation and give them idea of what you do so that he or she will want to stay in touch with you before they reach their floor? Five seconds. And both contestants get points off. No answers yet. Still no answers. What do we do, Judge Vic?
I don't know. I guess it's like a hung jury here. I think 5 more seconds.
Okay.
And then we're going to have to interject.
Okay. Oh, no, here's Cheryl. 3 more seconds.
Wow. And okay.
This is tough. Okay. Not enough time.
Thank you, Scott. I'm going to take.
Yeah, 5 minutes would have been a lot.
One more point off of Scott and off Cheryl's. Okay. So Cheryl says, good morning. Do you work in here? I'm just on my way up to meet X. I provide hourly fiduciary financial advice. Scott, hi. Do you work in the building? Great. I do as well. Maybe we should get together for a few minutes and see if we can help each other. Okay, Judge Vic.
So you have a great in-depth blog post about this topic. I'm hoping that you will share it with everyone in the show notes. Will you do that? Because your article was pretty good, Sarah.
Yeah, I did. How to meet prospects in an elevator. Yeah, I'm putting that in there.
It's pretty good. And, you know, the natural inclination is to kind of go with the elevator pitch, right? I mean, that's the whole phrase. But that can really come off a little too forward nowadays. And to some extent, Cheryl, who says, good morning, do you work in here? I'm just on my way to meet X person. I provide hourly fiduciary financial advice. You know, all right, well, you know, I don't know if someone's like immediately going to be like, oh, that's exactly what I'm looking for. So that's tough. Scott saying, hey, I work here as well. Maybe we should get together for a few minutes and see if we can help each other is closer to what I'm surmising from Sarah's article. So based on my, I'm doing a very long-winded judging here, that Sarah can explain her point of view a little bit more clearly than I can, but Sarah's approach is a lot less forward and a lot more laid back. Like, hey, here's my business card. Let's connect on LinkedIn. You almost have your LinkedIn profile do the pitching for you. And again, while Scott's not 100% right, he is kind of less forward than Cheryl. But I like Cheryl's direct style. It's a very New York attitude.
Yeah, but Scott didn't tell him what they were going to help each other with. So I can't say that I'm less direct.
Yeah,
you do. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I mean, I do. I like Scott's answer, but I think it is a little bit like, who is this guy? You know what I'm saying? You got to be aware too. Like sometimes people can kind of be like, you know, is this?
Yeah, well, Yeah, what are you trying to scam me?
Overture here, right? You know, you got to be aware of that too. So what I would say is that I would have said something like this, you know, more along the lines of Scott, but I would have integrated Cheryl's wording too. I would have said, hey, do you work here? Great. I'm just on my way up to meet X, and, you know, we're talking about some financial, you know, I'm helping them with their finances. Well, you can't say the person's name, you know, I'm just here for a meeting. I help people with their finances. By the way, since you work in the building as well, perhaps we should speak, because I love to work with others that are in a close proximity. I've just found that that's a great connection to have. I always would rather work with someone right in my backyard rather than in another building. Boom, here's the card. Let's connect on LinkedIn.
Nice. That's obviously more than a one-story elevator. Shoot.
I know, but I wrote a blog about this. I'm coming at this with a bias, but just for all of you out there, you know, the more you can complete, the more you can get them to connect with you on LinkedIn. I do agree. I think it is very innocuous.
Makes sense.
Some people aren't on LinkedIn, but still, then they just have your business card anyways. But I would, I like the idea of helping each other is a good idea, or just getting to connect. Whereas, you know, and it's always good if you can say, if you can make it seem like you have some kind of an important meeting in the building.
You seem like an important person.
Right. If you can make it seem like kind of a little bit even secretive, like, yeah, I'm just here to speak with some people about some, you know, financial planning that we're doing for an executive that works here.
Be great. X isn't a holding place. That's actually the answer.
Yeah.
Mr.
Big
X.
Big Malcolm X.
Yeah. The big man X, big person X.
Right, right. Okay, so Vic, what is the assignment of points, my friend?
This is a tough one. You know, because we are literally saying a mix of both, plus now you want that little call to action, if you will, to use that phrase where it's, hey, let's connect on LinkedIn. And I'll say there's an added aspect of chemistry of kind of where the conversation's going. Because if it's not, you know, it's just like an awkward silence and this person's obviously you're not really gelling with, then, you know, to say, hey, let's connect on LinkedIn, it's kind of like, why bother? Maybe you want to disconnect. So from that aspect, I would say 1 point each, because they're both missing a part of each other, and they're missing that call to action that, Sarah, you talk about in terms of connecting on LinkedIn. But I'll say 1 point each. They're almost there.
Okay.
They're equally not right.
Okay.
I'd like to be equally not right with you any day, Scott.
And still get a point, right? Exactly.
There
I agree.
You go.
So now, actually, this is the second game show where this has happened. But by the way, we are now having to go into lightning round because the score is tied at 3-3.
Yes, it's going to be vicious.
Okay. So now, just real quick, I'm going to think of a question. And before we run out of time on my Zoom call, which contestants and judge, you know what to do if we do, because I think we are because of this lightning round, we're going to go into sudden death overtime. Now, here's the thing. You can wager. The score right now is 3-3. Okay. Everybody has three. Cheryl and Scott both have 3 points. You can wager up to, let's say, 6 points in this round. So let me ask you, what did each of you pledge?
Oh boy.
You get it wrong, you get subtracted.
So you can either double, or you can win those points, or you lose those points, right? That's kind
of yeah.
Oh, double me down.
Yeah, I'm going to go all in too.
Okay.
Does that mean that we get for a LinkedIn profile makeover for our persona as well as our real self?
And your dogs and cats.
All right. I'm glad I doubled down. Now I hope to win.
Right. I might have to throw Facebook in there. Okay. So here's the question, okay? What do you say to a client to get them to introduce you to their millennial children? 2 sentences or less.
Hey, And they're going to be typing it in to the chat system.
Three seconds left. Okay, responses, please, contestants. Okay. From Scott, from Cheryl. Okay, both were late, so both get minus 1 point. So the maximum you could get is 5 points for this. Okay. From Scott, are your children interested in investing? Maybe we should introduce them to what you're doing with your investments. What do you think? From Cheryl. I answer questions about money, whether it be one question or a full review. Let me know.
Obviously with no punctuation because this lesson.
No, that's okay. I don't penalize for punctuation. Judge Vic.
So both of, you know, it would be nice to hear something of the story, and granted, I'm not in your profession, that, I actively nowadays am working more and more with those of the millennial generation because they're maturing, they're in their late 20s, they're in their early 30s even, and they're dealing with some complex stuff. They're making good income. They're interested in growing their money. They're buying real estate. They're getting married. They're starting to even think about kids, if not having kids. More and more of them are having a complex financial life and are interested in having questions answered about their financial planning, their financial future. And then kind of go into, as we've done for you, Ms. Sir, as we've done for you many years, it may be about time that we start having meetings with your adult children, not necessarily to even involve them in your planning, but really about their future and what they should be doing. Do you think they're ready for that? And kind of have that open-ended, because it's literally about their children, and it's not about their peers. Because you're basing it on experience that you're having in the marketplaces. This is not some sudden thing, let alone the fact that it is true that millennials are maturing. But I'm not seeing that. And Sarah, and really, Charles Scott, I want to hear kind of your feedback about what I said. That's what I would want to hear if someone were talking to me from your chair. So from that aspect, both of you have that segue then of, do you think the time is right? So if I have to make a judgment, I would go with Cheryl, that I answer questions about money, be it one question or full review, kind of like, hey, I'm here. And then you have Scott's good aspect of, maybe we should introduce him to what you're doing with investments, because, the parents of millennials are that much more serious about retirement and the distribution of those assets. So it's kind of a little bit of both. Long-winded judgment answer here. So I will say, if I have to choose, since it's a lightning round and I see the clock is ticking, out of five, I would say, wow, it's tough. I would say 4 out of 5 for Cheryl. That's high. And maybe it's tough. I would almost give it a tie, Sarah. This is tough. Really, really tough. I think both of you are missing that aspect of the experience that you have with others. And both of you are good at really being a resource. But I'm looking at Cheryl because it's, hey, be it one question or a full review. And, maybe the parents don't want to bring the kids into what they're doing with their investments just yet, but you know what? You can be a resource for my kids. And when you get their questions answered, yeah, sooner or later, we need to involve them. Going with Cheryl.
Well, okay, so what does Cheryl get? 4 or 5?
I would say 4 out of 5, and Scott gets 3 out of 5.
Scott gets 3, okay. So, yeah, what I get from this is the idea here is that I would want to see it open with a question. So I like Scott's approach of starting with a question. However, I think this question is perhaps a little bit too direct. You know, are your children interested in investing? Well, sure, yeah, they got an E-Trade account, and you know, they watch CNBC with me or whatever. And that's not, I don't know if that's directly getting to the point of what they might need help with. So I would have said something more like, I was started with the question definitely, but I would have said it something more like, most millennials, and I know that you have millennial children, most millennials are confronted either by concerns about saving and or not sure what to do with their money now that they're starting to get it. Would you say that either of these situations is true for your children, or is it something that I haven't thought of? So like, make it not a yes or no question. I would make it a little bit more open-ended. And then the next sentence would be, if so, what do you think in terms of the time? I like Vic's thing about the timing. Do you think it's that now is the time to start answering some of their questions, or do you think for some reason, perhaps a later point? So I actually do like, and the other thing about Scott's that I'm not crazy about is introducing them to what you're doing with your investments. Like, a lot of parents, especially those with like mega wealth, might not want their kids actually knowing how, you know, all of the things that, all of the wealth that they potentially will inherit, because it may create entitlement issues. So
point of clarification though, Sarah, on that is what I intended on that was, it may be, you know, short time, but basically it comes across as more from the introduction of how they're managing as far as what types of strategies, index, active, everything in between, versus getting into the specifics of, you know, the parent situation. So just point of clarification.
Yeah. So I would say that although I like Cheryl's better, I feel like it's almost stating like an obvious thing. You know, the parents obviously know that you answer questions about money. So I would tend to actually go with Scott's. But I like Scott's structurally. However, I think there's a few things that are, you know, maybe could be rounded out or like kind of like a little smoother. You know what I mean? So just because we have to end the podcast, I would say I would go with Vic's assignment of points there. I do agree. I think Scott's is offering a little bit more. So Scott gets 4 points and Cheryl gets 3, right? Vic, that was what you said?
I think it was the opposite. So I think I said, it was the opposite. 3 for Scott, 4 for Cheryl, I believe.
Okay. 3 for Scott, 4 for Cheryl. Okay, good. So that puts us at, I think Cheryl then would win.
I think we're back to tied.
By 1 point?
No, I think we're back to tied. One of the issues that I have about this last question is maybe I didn't hear the question right, but I don't want anyone to think exclusively about investments, because I come from a holistic planning background, and I know a lot of your listeners and viewers are, and so I guess you know, young people have all kinds of questions about their personal finance life, about accepting a job or human capital value or student loans or gosh knows what else, but they may not have any investment questions for a while. So I just wanted to ask if I misheard the question, or perhaps we're focusing more on investments than I would be comfortable with, actually, in opening this up to inviting the millennials into working with me.
Yeah, actually, that's a good thing. The millennials, the question was about just general meeting with them. It was not specifically on investments.
Okay.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Cheryl, what you actually said. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, most of the time, a lot of the millennials or even non-millennial children of clients, they basically really don't need investing help initially. I mean, it's a lot of other things. I get a lot of conversation around, you know, my son or his daughter has student loans, and what should they be due? How much should they be saving versus mm-hmm. paying off debt? Things like that. All those things
right.
are important to children. But what ends up happening, as you probably know, Cheryl, and everybody on the call, is that it always starts with investing. Then you got to kind of backtrack into the planning side of it. And a lot of times the parents are to the point where they don't need the level of planning as their children do. So their focus is investing. So that's kind of where I went with the questions versus, you know, talking about planning with the parent and immediately them trying to make that connect that they don't really need, or they need very little of that, and they wouldn't understand the needs of their children. But I agree with Cheryl that, you know, based on the way that Sarah had phrased the question with millennials, I think it was millennials, that planning is a good starting point.
Yeah. Okay. So originally this was at a tie because we were at 3-3 and then we pledged 6. Everybody got a point off. So this technically would make Cheryl the winner by 1 point. Congratulations,
Cheryl.
Oh, wow. I'm stunned. I actually thought we came out at a tie.
I will
always trust a financial advisor who's good with numbers.
I will say this, that because this was so close, I wouldn't mind performing this LinkedIn analysis for both contestants because this was a great show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I would be good with that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
All right, great. So thanks everybody for being on the show. Thanks, Judge Vic. This was great. And
it was fun.
Yeah, I hope everybody can subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And stay tuned for the next one.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Sarah. Keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Cheryl. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.